I'm Lauren from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio, a podcast dedicated to everything Doctor Who. Join us each week for discussion ranging from Hartnell to Capaldi. I'm your host, Jay Whitten.
I prefer to jazzercise my demons, but yeah.
And my co-host, Haley Malley.
I am a ray of sunshine.
And Keir Hansen.
Proactionary. Proactionary? Is that a word?
Spoilers.
We will be discussing news and rumors, as well as episodes that have already aired. But don't worry, if we get into anything too serious, we'll warn you again.
Welcome to episode 119 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we're going to pause for an introspective moment, take stock of our lives, and try to decide what kind of person we really want to be. And after weighing out the good and the bad, the joys and the sorrows, our successes and failures, we can then, with a stiff upper lip and a fearsome brow, proceed to take on all the least personable traits, dress ourselves in a Stark outfit, forget how to care about humans, or any other species for that matter, and still manage to somehow pull it off brilliantly. So, here in the GPR studios this evening, my name is Keir, and joining me, as always, my partner in time, Jay. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Outstanding, as always. Not as outstanding, and absent in the third chair down to my far right is Haley. She'll be back with us by next week, but had to tend to some business.
Yeah, things happen. All right, so this week we're taking a look at the many parts that create the whole of our 12th Doctor. From the gruff demeanor to the razor-sharp insults, we seek to identify what makes the persona of Capaldi's Doctor, from his mannerisms to his interactions with others, and how his lifetime appreciation of the program has shaped the latest incarnation of our favorite time traveler.
Yeah. And again, many of you may be saying, well, guys, you've been talking about this all along. We've been discussing it as it occurs, sort of, you know, a lifetime reaction with the episodes as they air. But now we get to sit back and say, all right, now that we've seen what he has crafted for our titular character, how much of it is him? How much of it is his appreciation for his predecessors? How much of it is potentially, you know, the producers in the bigger chairs on the other side of the camera? So,
So I mean, there's some obvious things that stick out. You know, the very first being the appearance. I mean, this is the first thing that we had of Capaldi's Doctor was the revelation of his costume. And from the moment that it hit the internet, people started breaking it apart, being like, oh, well, it's clearly, you know, an homage to the third Doctor with the red lining and the pose and everything like that. I mean, there's a lot of similarities to be drawn here. It is basically the modern day version of the third Doctor's outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, obviously, you know, we note that when, in Spearhead from Space, when our third Doctor chooses his outfit, it's really a matter of, well, you didn't have a whole lot of choice. It was hanging on the back of a hook.
Right. And I mean, wasn't it actually supposed to be a costume for someone?
Like, correct.
Yeah. It was someone had an opera costume that they were going to a masquerade ball in or something. So it was meant to be a little bit flamboyant, and it just for some reason worked for that Doctor.
Right. But even through his tenure, as his outfit changed slightly, it still stayed with, you know, the heavy piping and the velvet sort of velveteen suits and things. And it was always very ornate, and it became part of his overall appearance. But it was, at least it was over that course, it became sort of a dashing look. You know, it was a kind of a bold statement because he wasn't ashamed of the fact that he stood out a bit. And I think that's maybe where a little bit of the divergence happens here, because Capaldi stays in this sort of appearance, and even with the variations, whether he's wearing the hoodie or not, or that sweater that has so many people scratching their heads, it never goes flamboyant. You know, it's never something that would necessarily stand out.
You know, just for my own personal reasons, when I do my Capaldi cosplay, I'm going to have that sweater, and I'm going to match each and every one of those holes like perfectly. It is going to be spot on, and it's just going to be to make people wonder.
I'm just glad that we've determined that they actually are holes, because for the longest time, people thought that it was bedazzled. So let's just put that aside.
Sorry, my granddaughter got a hold of it with her little jewels. And
But again, in all of the permutations of the outfits that he wears, maybe with the exception of when he's just wearing the clean white shirt underneath, no tie always, you know, but always buttoned up to the top. He's got that very kind of that stern appearance. Mm-hmm. But it is always in very dark tones.
Yes, you know? Yeah.
Which is actually, as we've learned through interviews with Colin Baker, that's what he originally wanted for his doctor. He wanted to be very subdued, and they said, "Well, have we got news for you? You might want to sit down because there's a memo." But it's understandable. I think they were both in agreement on what they thought the doctor should represent in terms of appearance. You know, this is business. You know, there's work to be done. There's research to be had. There's secrets to be revealed. And this isn't a matter of going out and putting on something that makes you stand out. It's more difficult to maneuver and manipulate and get behind the scenes when you stand out like a sore thumb.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, this really did fit the tone that this doctor had this season. It was very well orchestrated to the type of character that he was going to be throughout Series 8. So I think it worked brilliantly for him. And it was fun to see, because we all know that the third doctor was Capaldi's doctor. That's the one that he really attached to when he was younger. And, you know, we've all got our doctor, you know, and that's mm-hmm. just the one that he was for. So.
Sure.
It makes sense that was how it would do. But.
Well, that goes along. That's a sort of stitches well with the next point that we wanted to discuss, and that had to do with the physicality of his character, or how he decides to carry him out in terms of the way he holds himself in different situations. Not in terms of reaction or speech or mannerisms of that sort, but this is really the physical nature of it. Mm-hmm. And I guess. I know a lot of people were concerned that he was sort of stiff, or that he was, it made him seem as old as people were concerned he was going to be, because he wasn't as fluid looking. He looked, especially with the outfit from the promotional pictures early on, it looked like he was going to be this bony skeleton man, you know? and it was going to sort of impact some of the action nature that the show could take on. But we saw right in Deep Breath that he jumps on the back of a horse in a nightgown and he's yeah. off and going. You know, does pratfalls, you know, when he passes out on the beach and things. So he's willing to go physical.
Yeah. And I mean, that can tie very easily into some of the earlier doctors as well. You know, the third doctor obviously being the most action oriented that we had in the classic series, you know, from the judo chops to the running about. And it was very much, you know, we've talked about it before, how he was styled after James Bond. And I mean, there was a lot of physical activity in his doctor. And then you've got the fourth doctor, who was much more cerebral, and he did a lot of the almost slapstick at times kind of physicality, but not so much the action oriented mm-hmm. that we were
well, seeing. I would actually back up a little bit. I'll give some of the running about and the willingness to sort of to stay in motion back to Troughton.
Oh yeah,
but
that's true.
I would probably say that when you get to Pertwee, that's when it becomes more confrontational in terms of the action. Takes a little bit of a pause, you know. As you said, you know, Tom Baker got a little bit more pensive and that sort of thing. I'd say with Davidson, I see some points in there insofar as Davidson sort of kept himself, and this goes along with his costume as well. He had the cricketer's outfit, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a sort of it's a proper sport. It's a civilized appearance, and he was more of a calm, rational, a thinker's doctor, you know, the more of the teacher, the educator, the protector. But there were times when he would have to go physical, not usually in terms of struggle, but, you know, if it came down to something that required, you know, leaping over a chasm or that kind of thing, it was as needed. And then, you know, we can start taking it all the way up to McCoy in terms of willingness to kind of throw themselves into the scenes as needed. The fighting, though, definitely, I'd say, or the nature of being willing to roll up one's sleeves and you know, and take a swing, we definitely see that return with Capaldi, you know, squaring off against the half man,
yeah, half face man, yeah,
or the spoon sword fight on the bridge with Robin Hood.